Can't win me back. Chapter 1501. Jasper had not let go of his hatred for Sophia, nor had he become indifferent to the pain his mother had suffered. However, if he dwelled on the hatred, it would not only cause him to sink into misery but also make those around him unhappy. Alyssa nodded in agreement, sighing. Landon, I know you and Jasper are like brothers, but you have Lauren now. You two are a family. Can you put her first next time? Don't always think about my man. Jasper and Landon were both speechless at her words. Also, don't think that Lauren wanting to see Sophia is a betrayal to us. She just wants to see Sophia one last time. This actually shows her pure heart and kindness. If Lauren were as resentful as Betty, wishing to deny her own origins, then you should be afraid. Considering Lauren's unstable condition, Alyssa decided not to return that night, even if it meant not sleeping to take care of her. Since she wasn't leaving, Jasper naturally had to stay with her. Knowing Alyssa's high requirements for sleep, Jasper called Xavier and asked him to bring over her pajamas, skincare products, and aromatherapy oils, even if it was just a one-night stay. He wanted to set up the bedroom for her to ensure she could sleep peacefully. At night, Alyssa went to find Angelina to inquire about Lauren's condition. On the other hand, Jasper called Landon to the dining room and opened a bottle of red wine to ease his mood. However, Landon, who usually loved drinking, had a dark expression and showed no interest in drinking. Landon, I've been thinking. After Lauren wakes up, how about letting her stay with Lice for a few days? Jasper looked at Landon seriously. Upon hearing that, Landon was taken aback. He slammed the table. Jasper, what have I done to make you distrust me? You want to take Lauren away from me? Jasper frowned. I'm not taking her away. It's just that Lauren's condition is unstable. Staying with Lice for a few days might help ease her mood. Are you also worried about me being with her? Am I not worthy of your trust? After a pause, Jasper replied, to be honest, given what happened today, you really didn't inspire much confidence in us. Fuck. Landon's eyes turned red. He almost wished he could smash the bottle in frustration. Landon's temples throbbed. What did you say? Chapter 1502. In an instant, Landon felt like he had been shot in the heart. The pain caused his sturdy body to tremble. Back in the Beckett family, Lauren had no sense of self, and she wasn't happy at all. Now that she's with you, she's become the woman you keep by your side, living life according to your arrangements and preferences. I don't think being too compliant is good for her. Jasper lowered his eyes and took a sip of wine. Take a few days apart from each other to calm down. It's a chance to think about the future of your relationship and how you want to proceed. Jasper, do you even hear what you're saying? Landon slammed his hands on the table, causing the wine in the glass decanter to ripple. His eyes were redder than the wine within. When you pursued Alyssa, I never once asked you to give up. Now, when I need advice, you don't help, and you even want me to give up. In the end, I'm just a worthless and irresponsible bastard in your eyes. You never wanted Lauren and me to be together. From the beginning, you never intended to truly entrust Lauren to me. I really regret ever being friends with you. Jasper frowned at those words. Landon, you're being too one-sided. If it was Alyssa, and I asked you to give up on her, could you? I'm asking you, could you? Landon laughed bitterly. You couldn't, could you? Losing Alyssa would kill you, wouldn't it? Well, it's the same for me. What's the fucking point of me living if I lose Lauren? When you said I should reconsider this relationship and take Lauren away from me, you're killing me. Not only that, you're scattering my ashes. Lice and Lauren are different. How much can Lauren endure? Not to mention setbacks, just the slightest stimulus could make her world collapse. Jasper's eyes darkened. His worry and anxiety at this moment were as if he were choosing a son-in-law for his daughter. She can't endure what ordinary people can, and she can't withstand what ordinary people can bear. To love her, you need courage, determination, and patience far beyond those of ordinary people. But your actions today have clearly shown that you've lost patience. Otherwise, you wouldn't have handled the situation so forcefully. Landon's heart sank, as if a bucket of cold water had been poured over him. This time, he had indeed been in the wrong, and he couldn't blame anyone else. Just as the tension reached its peak, a clear and loud voice rang out. What's with all the noise in the middle of the night? Both men looked up and saw Alyssa standing with her hands on her hips. Her gaze was sharp as she looked at them from the direction of the living room. Lauren's awake, but she's a bit weak, Alyssa said, her complex gaze falling on Landon's gloomy face. Go in and see her. Landon felt as if he had been granted a pardon. He rushed madly upstairs. Meanwhile, Alyssa walked up to Jasper. She couldn't help but frown and sigh softly. I'm not tired. Alyssa's voice was light. You're not tired. You're too lazy to even say one more word. No way. Your body is so hard. It's not comfortable at all. Chapter 1503. Despite complaining about discomfort, Alyssa nestled comfortably against his chest and sighed, these two really worry me. Lauren just had an argument with Landon. Is it appropriate to leave them alone now? Jasper asked in a low voice. Lauren still loves Landon. I know that. After this incident, Landon must also realize his mistake. Let him go in and comfort Lauren. The person who caused the problem should be the one to solve it. Jasper nodded, smoothing the strands of hair that had fallen beside her cheek with his fingertips. You're right. Angelina just told me that Cornelius will convene a shareholder meeting for the Harper Group this month. He's officially appointing Landon as the president of Harper Group and letting him enter the board of directors. Then he'll go to the Beckett family to propose marriage. Jasper's eyes flickered, but he didn't say anything. What's wrong? You don't look too happy. Do you not approve of this marriage? Alyssa lifted her hand to gently stroke his sharply defined face. Don't be fooled by my anger toward him. I really care about them. I just want them to be happy. I'm afraid Landon won't take good care of Lauren, so I wanted to give him a warning. They love each other. How could I not want them to be together? If they can get married, Lauren will have her own family in the future. I'm happy. I just feel that as Landon's best friend, I can't help much with his marriage, Jasper said helplessly, with a hint of guilt between his brows. He'll have to go see Javier to propose, and right now, I can't talk in front of that man. Plus, last time, Landon stood up for me, which made Javier very unhappy. My narrow-minded father has always held grudges. If he gets the chance, he'll definitely make Landon pay for it. So, you think Javier will hinder your best friend's marriage? Alyssa blinked. It's not that I think so. It's certain. Jasper smirked coldly. I have no hope for Javier's character. I've been thinking. It's best to settle their marriage as soon as possible. Alyssa, with her meticulous thinking and genuine concern for Lauren's future, had a more thorough thought. As you know, Javier won't agree to this marriage easily. At the Jesultan's party last time, Landon embarrassed Javier in front of so many Solana City elites. If he agrees to marry his daughter to Landon, he'll feel like he's become the laughingstock of the entire Solana City. Others will only think that the Harper family has control over him. How could the proud Mr. Javier bear that? Now, while Grandpa is still strong, let him take the lead and push forward this marriage. Grandpa likes Landon very much and even sees him as his grandson. With Grandpa taking the lead, Javier won't be able to obstruct. When Landon entered the room, Lauren was weakly leaning against the headboard. Her eyes were dull and lifeless, while her gaze was vacant. A surge of heart-wrenching pain overwhelmed him, almost suffocating him. He had a hard time even breathing. Angelina stood by with a bowl of chicken soup, wanting to feed Lauren. But no matter how she persuaded her, Lauren refused to open her mouth. Lauren. Can't win me back. Chapter 1504. Landon blamed himself for what he had done. If only he could have a little more patience. If only he could consider Lauren a bit more. Don't rush it, Mr. Landon. Take it slow, Angelina comforted him softly. Just as she was about to leave, Lauren suddenly hugged her from behind and cried out, Angie, don't leave. Don't leave. Madam Lauren, don't be afraid. It's Mr. Landon, Angelina quickly reassured her. Don't leave. Please. All right, I won't leave. I'll stay with you. Angelina looked at the pale-faced Landon and felt both bitter and conflicted. With reddened eyes, Landon knelt in front of Lauren. He wanted to hold her hand, but she avoided him. I know I was wrong. If I ever say anything harsh to you again, you can let Richie out to bite me, okay? Lauren bit her lip tightly. Even with blood beads forming on her lips, she didn't say a word. Punish me however you want, but please don't ignore me. Darling, please. The formidable and fearsome Landon was reduced to nothing in front of his beloved. In this aspect, he and Jasper were quite alike. You wanted to see your mom one last time, right? You can go. Landon choked up toward the end of his words. Even if it's not the last time, even if it's two or three times, you can do whatever you want to do. I'll accompany you. Landon. I'm sorry. The weight of guilt bore down on Landon as he listened to Lauren apologizing to him in her soft voice. He hugged her tightly, feeling his blood heat up as if he had regained something he had lost. He would never demand anything from her again. The torment was more unbearable than killing him. That sudden falling stone successfully gave Simon a concussion and required 8 stitches on his forehead. Upon discovering that their highly anticipated eldest son had become a pariah, the Lynch couple was so frightened that they couldn't bear it. Unable to withstand the shock, Sinead suffered a heart attack and was hospitalized. Sean, let me accompany you. This time, Tatiana showed no signs of hesitation. She grasped his hand tightly and refused to let go. Sean felt grateful but hesitated. Tati, thank you, but my family. Sean's breath caught. He pulled her into his arms and said affectionately, I love you so much, Tati. Can't win me back. Chapter 1505. Sean and Tatiana didn't dare delay and hurried to the hospital. Sean held Tatiana's hand as they arrived at the ward. At the door, they could hear Simon, the unrepentant bastard, shouting inside, mixed with Sinead's sobbing. Dad. Mom. I'm in this state today all because of Sean, that double-cross dickhead. He's your son and my own brother, but did you see what he did in court? He's been working for Jasper and Alyssa, acting as their pawn. And it's his own brother he's ruining. I'm going to be doomed because of him. Simon was in a rage, swearing profusely. No one could imagine that the one speaking behind the closed door was none other than Simon Lynch, the lawyer who once enjoyed unparalleled prestige in Solana City. Sean's anger flared up. His sharp jawline tensed, and he clenched his fists so hard that the cracking was audible. Tatiana heard everything clearly as well. She squeezed his hand tightly and stared into his reddened eyes. She subtly shook her head, indicating that he should calm down. Dad. You've worked like a dog for the Taylor family for most of your life, and now they're starting to treat your precious son like a pawn. They used that love child from their family to seduce Sean so that they could manipulate him and drive a wedge between us. Simon's voice was piercing. After you retired, I worked so hard to restore our family's reputation over the years, and now everything has been ruined by Jasper and Alyssa. Even now, that idiot Sean still can't see the situation clearly. He shamelessly sticks with the Taylor family. That bitch is just playing with him. When she's drained him of his worth, she'll kick him away. Does he not know about equal partners? How could he possibly be worthy of Winston's daughter? Every word was like a dagger to Tatiana's heart. The pain tore her apart, making her bow her head in self-loathing. She was the conflict that would forever exist between Sean and his family. She really had messed up his once peaceful life. At this thought, she blamed herself for being useless. You bastard who speaks rubbish. Sean's eyes were ablaze with rage. His patience finally wore thin as he burst through the door. Although they were siblings, Simon had always been jealous of Sean's intelligence and talents since childhood, constantly belittling and mocking him. Whatever Sean said, Simon always refuted it. Whatever Sean wanted to do, Simon always opposed him, always mocking and ridiculing him. And he did it all under the guise of being a brother. He thought he was acting in Sean's best interests, but in reality, he was bullying him. For so many years, Sean had endured it for the sake of family ties and to avoid worrying his parents. But now, he dared insult the woman he loved. If he continued to endure, what kind of man would he be? Sean. Don't. Tatiana's heart skipped a beat. She wanted to stop him, but it was too late. The door opened abruptly with a heavy thud, startling the Lynches. Simon. Shut your filthy mouth. Can't win me back. Chapter 1506. Simon was already in his 30s and still seeking his father's protection when trouble arose. It was truly laughable. Tati and I genuinely love each other. Everything you said is nothing but nonsense and slander. Sean, full of indignation, spoke with unwavering righteousness. His words were resounding as if he and Simon were once again standing in a courtroom, engaged in a heated debate. I've done everything out of my own will. No one forced me. I stand with Ms. Alyssa and Mr. Beckett because they speak up for the weak in society. They have hearts set on righteousness. Unlike you, who aid and abet others, only seeking personal gain. Your current state is a result of your own actions. It's your karma. Dad. Mom. Do you hear what Sean is saying? Simon's arrogant demeanor in front of Sean diminished. He began to play the victim in front of his parents, trying to whitewash himself and use his parents to pressure Sean. I'm a lawyer. A lawyer's duty is to win cases for their clients. Does representing someone with opposing beliefs automatically make me a villain? Even without me, Beckett Group would have hired someone else to represent Sophia in court. Does that mean everyone who defends them is evil? I think you've really fallen for Alyssa's tricks. You're just a puppet in the tailor's hands. Tatiana stood outside the ward, listening to the unabashed argument. She felt as if a chill had frozen her entire body. Sinead's face turned pale at Simon's words. She clutched her chest, struggling to breathe. What wrong have we done? Why must they harm us? Like this. Simon, while comforting his mother, continued to sow discord. He even started pretending. Sean, I know you want to please your girlfriend and gain the Taylor family's favor. But you can't turn against your own family. I'm your biological brother. How can you forsake sibling affection for a woman? Sean's heart burned with anger. Just as he was about to speak up, Spencer, who had remained silent, suddenly spoke up. Sean, Ms. Tatiana is outside, right? She's Mr. Taylor's daughter. That makes her a distinguished guest. It's not right to leave a guest standing outside. Let her in. Spencer, you, Sinead frowned, clearly displeased. Sean knew his parents didn't like Tatiana. Despite their long relationship, his parents had never once mentioned meeting Tatiana. Yet now, his father had relented. There was no reason for him not to be happy. Frowning, Spencer stared at Sean. He could tell Sean was wholly enamored by Tatiana. As a man, how could he not see the intense love in Sean's eyes? Nice to meet you, Mr. and Mrs. Lynch. Can't win me back. Chapter 1507. Tatiana suppressed her grievances and forced out the brightest smile she could muster, even adding a hint of sweetness to her tone as she spoke, I heard you were ill, Mrs. Lynch. Sean rushed over to see you. He really cared for you. If you don't mind, may I look after you these days? Just let me know whatever you want to eat. Whether it's soup, stew, or snacks, I can make them for you. Observing this, Sean felt his heart ache again. He wrapped his arm around her waist, holding her tightly against him. He pitied her. He pitied her for trying so hard to please his parents and for sacrificing herself just to leave a good impression on them. She was his treasure. Yet, at this moment, he felt like he was tarnishing her. Sinead was initially pleased to see the daughter of the Taylor family showing such concern for her. However, upon witnessing Sean being affectionate with Tatiana, she felt a pang of jealousy. She thought Tatiana was merely trying to win them over and seduce her son, not acting out of genuine kindness. The next moment, Sinead sneered. No need to trouble you, Ms. Tatiana. My son has hired a specialized caregiver to take care of me. You're a noble lady. My life might be cut short if I let you serve me. Tatiana's breath caught in her throat. Embarrassed, she bit down on her lower lip, her fair cheeks blushing. Mom. Tati means well. Even if you don't appreciate it, you shouldn't say such sarcastic words to hurt her feelings. Frowning, Sean tightened his grip on Tatiana's waist. What did I say? How was I being sarcastic? Do I not even have the right to speak now? Sinead's eyes were red with anger. She slammed her fist on the bed in frustration. They say a son forgets his mother when he gets married. She hasn't even set foot in our family's door, and you've already forgotten about me. Mom, please calm down. You've just emerged from the brink of death. Beside her, Simon patted Sinead's back, playing the dutiful son. Meanwhile, Spencer watched as his wife launched a verbal assault on Tatiana. He hesitated several times to intervene but ultimately remained silent. Sinead clutched at her chest. Her icy gaze fell upon Tatiana's delicate, flushed skin. Ms. Tatiana, there were some things I wanted to discuss with you privately, but since you're here today, I might as well tell you. I do not approve of you being with Sean. Tatiana froze in place, feeling as if she had been struck by lightning. A tremendous sense of humiliation coursed through her entire being. "Mom." Sean's voice trembled with anguish. "That's enough. Stop." Sean couldn't bear to listen anymore. He grabbed Tatiana's cold hand and attempted to leave. "Don't listen to them, Tati. Let's go." But no matter how hard he pulled, he couldn't move her. "Can't win me back." Chapter 1508 Tatiana felt like she was being plunged into an icy abyss, with a hurricane of cold sweeping through her chest. The flush of embarrassment on her cheeks drained away, leaving her face pale. As she looked into Sinead's tear-filled eyes, she saw through her pretense and detected the disdain in her heart. In the past, she might have turned and fled, hiding in a corner and wallowing in self-pity and tears. But this time, an inexplicable courage surged within her, a courage to face the Lynches directly. She loved Sean. That was all. Was love wrong? Why should she bow down to them? If she ran away in disgrace now, wouldn't she be tacitly agreeing that what Sinead said was true? "Miss Tatiana, do you understand what I'm saying?" Sinead still appeared frail and helpless, but her tone was icy. Sean's shoulders trembled with anger. The veins in his neck bulged as if about to burst. "You can vent your anger at me. How dare you speak to the woman I love like this? What has Tati done to deserve this treatment from you? Sean, how dare you speak to your mother like that? This is absurd." Spencer finally couldn't hold back and reprimanded him sharply. This marked the first time Spencer had encountered such a situation. He felt both anger and bewilderment, bewildered by the abrupt transformation of his usually obedient and considerate youngest son, who now found himself in conflict with the entire family over a woman. His wife's worries were not unfounded. This beautiful woman, who was capable of capturing men's hearts, was too intimidating. She had diverted his son's attention entirely. If she continued to manipulate Sean like this, he would completely break ties with the family. Sinead's eyes burned with anger. Gritting her teeth, she glared at Tatiana. "What did I do? I was just having a woman-to-woman chat with Ms. Tatiana. What's the use of telling you? Can you even understand? Ms. Tatiana, you're Mr. Taylor and Lila's daughter. Even though you're not born to his first wife like Alyssa, you're still his flesh and blood. You've received a high-level education since childhood. You're understanding, considerate, and reasonable. I believe you understand my intentions. If you truly love Sean, you should let him go. You shouldn't force him to choose between love and family or condemn him to a life without dignity. Don't you agree?" A loud buzz filled Sean's mind. Under tremendous anger, his vision of Sinead's face gradually blurred. Was this the same mother who had raised him with love and care? She had such possessiveness and a desire for control. When did this maternal love become so distorted? Spencer's pupils contracted slightly. He also felt that his wife's words were too much. But if she didn't act like this, how could the Lynch family save their dignity? How could Sean cleanly break away from Tatiana? The Lynch's expressions changed abruptly. Even Sean was stunned. The usually gentle and timid woman was standing up for herself for the first time. "What did you say?" Sinead's expression stiffened, not expecting Tatiana to dare to talk back. "Sean and I truly love each other. You know that, yet you turn a blind eye and repeatedly try to break us apart. May I ask why?" With reddened eyes, Tatiana took a deep breath. "Can't win me back." Chapter 1509 F Tatiana continued, "And also, you said that Lice has been using Sean, trampling on his dignity, and even claimed that my family looks down on him." These are all baseless accusations. If it were true, my parents would never have agreed to my relationship with Sean, and my father wouldn't have acknowledged him as his godson. The Lynch couple was shocked. Godson? When did that happen? How come they had never heard Sean mention it? Recalling this, Simon felt jealousy and resentment bubbling up inside him. All these years, he had been currying favor with everyone he could, only to have Sean become Winston's godson just because he was close with the Taylors. If he had known things would turn out like this, he would have tried to ingratiate himself with the Taylor family from the beginning. Perhaps by now, he would have become a son-in-law or even the director of legal affairs at KS Group. Then Sean wouldn't be in the picture at all. Forget being a godson. He would have happily settled for being a god-grandson. That would have put him above everyone else. But if you look down on me because my mother is Lila, the third lady of the Taylor family, then I can only feel regret and disappointment for your shallow, materialistic mindset. Tatiana's usually gentle and delicate expression suddenly stiffened. Her tone became colder. I cannot change my background, nor do I wish to. I have never been ashamed of my mother. On the contrary, my mother has endured hardships and suffered in ways you can never imagine. She has been my pride all along. However, I won't blame you for your coldness and ridicule. After all, you are Sean's mother. Sinead's heart suddenly tightened. A flush of shame rose to her cheeks, as if Tatiana's words were a stinging slap. But I hope that this is the last time I hear such words from you. Sean stared at Tatiana's fearless face, his heart pounding wildly. Since childhood, Tatiana had always been hiding behind Alyssa. She had been gentle and soft-spoken, like a little white rabbit cradled in the palm of his hand. But at this moment, Tatiana seemed to have grown up in an instant, breaking through herself. Her beautiful and chic demeanor made her look a little like Alyssa. No. She was unlike anyone else. She was the Tati he loved. Spencer watched as his wife was silenced, unable to say a word. On one hand, he couldn't possibly argue with a young woman like Tatiana, as it would be too undignified. On the other hand, his wife's words were indeed harsh, and anyone would have retaliated. Sinead was taken aback. Her lips trembled, and her mind momentarily went blank. Her previously commanding demeanor dissipated as well. Miss Tatiana, you're saying as if our family is blind and filled with villains. As an instigator, how could Simon not fuel the fire? You. Who are you talking about? Sean clenched his fists. He didn't want to waste any more words. He just wanted to grab Simon by the neck and twist it. Tatiana felt a stab in her heart, stumbling back half a step. Simon's actions were despicable beyond measure. He was undoubtedly picking at her deepest wound. Can't win me back. Chapter 15:10. The unbearable events of that night surged back like a flood, drowning Tatiana in almost breathless agony. Miss Tatiana, you're a scion of the Taylor family. All of Bell Banks knows about the decades-long friendship between your family and the Schmidt family. David forced you. I doubt he would have dared. Simon turned the ward into a courtroom, forgetting how he had been reduced to a pathetic state. You two were alone together in the room, and when the scandal broke, you Taylors joined forces to shift the blame onto the Schmidt family. You knew you were tainted, making it difficult for you to find a partner in high society in the future. So, you decided to stoop down and use Sean as your lifeline, taking advantage of him. Ha! Miss Tatiana, you're really something. I guess you're not inferior to Ms. Alyssa. You beast. Sean lost all rationality. His eyes turned bloodshot as he struck Simon's face with his fists. The punch contorted Simon's features in an instant. The Lynch couple cried out in shock, "Sean! Stop it! Ugh!" Simon saw stars. His head, already diagnosed with a concussion, began to throb intensely. The next moment, he felt blood gushing out of his mouth. When he spat on the ground, he heard a click. A tooth had fallen out. It was evident how much force Sean had put into that punch, as if he wanted to kill Simon. Shocked, Tatiana covered her mouth with both hands. She knew that Sean had been completely consumed by anger. Although he was doing this for her, continuing like this would only lead to even bigger trouble. Just as Sean was about to strike again, Sinead suddenly rushed forward and grabbed his arm. She cried out hysterically, "How dare you raise your hand against your own brother? You've gone insane for this woman. Hit me. Just hit me and get it over with. You won't need me as your mother anymore anyway." Sean panted heavily, tears of anger and resentment flooding his bloodshot eyes. Why was it so hard for him to love someone? Why did they have to look down on such a good woman like Tatiana and hurt her time and time again? "You guys are really too much. How can you bully a young girl together? When did the Lynch family's ethics decline to this point?" Amidst the tense atmosphere, a voice filled with anger cut through. Holding his face, Simon cast a cold glance over. Sinead also stopped crying. The sharp sound of footsteps shattered the awkward silence as Stephen strode in, his face like frost. "Stephen," Sean murmured as he looked at Stephen. "Mom, how long are you going to remain so ignorant? Can't win me back." Chapter 15 11 Sean and Tatiana stared in astonishment at Stephen's resolute face, deeply moved by his actions. Despite the couple feeling as if they had a sword hanging over their heads, someone from the Lynch family was actually willing to lend them a hand. This act of kindness amidst adversity was more precious and heartwarming than ever before. "Stephen, how dare you speak to your mother like that?" Spencer finally couldn't contain his anger. He rose abruptly and pointed accusingly at Stephen's stern face. "Your mother has worked tirelessly all her life, raising you three brothers single-handedly. And all you have to say is that she's disappointing? Are you and Sean trying to drive us two old folks to death?" Simon took the opportunity to paint himself as the victim. Spewing blood and air, he said, "Dad. Mom. Look at them. They don't even care about you two. People said to raise a child to prevent loneliness. But I'm the only one who truly stands by you. They're both traitors." When Simon recalled how Stephen and Sean had teamed up against him in court, his anger surged even more. "Vent your anger at me, Stephen. Both of you, come at me. Mom's body can't withstand your harsh words." Stephen couldn't help but sneer. He stared at Simon's face with a mixture of disgust and contempt. "You think I'm not coming for you? You think you can run?" Simon trembled violently. "Do you think I don't know what you've been up to under my nose all these years? Do you think I can't see that you've been suppressing and bullying Sean? Do you think I'm blind?" Stephen took a deep breath. His heart twinged with guilt, and his eyes were filled with a hint of shame. "I regret not exposing your malicious facade earlier and not reporting your wrongdoings. I should have let you know there's justice in this world." "Stephen. You," Simon's face turned as red as a tomato. Stephen, who had always been quiet and indifferent at home, was now mercilessly exposing him. Each of his words was like a sharp nail pinning him to the pillar of shame. Sinead, too, was stunned by her suddenly furious son. With her mouth half open, She stared at Simon in bewilderment. What report? What wrongdoing? Spencer took a step forward, widening his eyes. Simon, is what Stephen said true? What's going on here? S sealed off. Reported. W who dares to do that? Simon exclaimed in panic. His face contorted with rage, as if someone had stepped on his tail. Just then, his phone vibrated. Trembling, he took it out and looked at it. His bandaged head was throbbing again. Can't win me back, chapter 1512. Not only that, the text message Simon's secretary had sent him disgusted him. The text message read, "Mr. Lynch, consider this text message as my official resignation. Everything has unfolded the way it has today because of your arrogance. I've endured enough of your torment. You may think of yourself as a king, but I no longer wish to serve you. If the law didn't protect this land, I would have slaughtered you myself. I hope to never see you again. Congratulations on your closure." Simon was seething with anger. His hand, gripping the phone, trembled uncontrollably. He felt completely out of his element and adrift. "I've not wrongly accused you in any way. How you ended up here is entirely your own doing." Stephen was utterly devastated. He gritted his teeth and continued, "Up until now, you have shown no remorse. You're jealous of Sean and exploit Mom and Dad's obliviousness to get back at him, tearing down the accomplishments he worked so hard for. Simon, when did you become this monstrous? Or have you never regarded Sean and me as your family? You've always viewed us as competition. Whenever one of us achieved something or surpassed you, you'd do whatever it took to bring us down, all to feed your ego. You revel in seeing us live worse off than you, don't you? W, what nonsense are you spouting? I've never thought that in my life," Simon argued with a reddened face. "You saw how Sean found such an incredible woman, Ms. Tatiana. She hails from a reputable family and has the support of Ms. Alyssa and Mr. Jasper. Your jealousy led you to defame Ms. Tatiana to our parents to break them apart." Then, Stephen turned his burning gaze to Spencer and added, "Dad, I've clarified with the prosecutor and police about David. David was never close to Ms. Tatiana, as Simon claimed. They were never acquainted. David was the one who wanted to marry into the Taylors but failed. So, his sister, Daisy, set a trap at the party. They drugged Ms. Tatiana and took her by force to accomplish his sinister desires and forced Mr. Winston into marrying his daughter to him. A profound sense of humiliation stirred in Tatiana's heart. She closed her eyes. David was dead, but that scar was etched in her heart forever. She had finally moved past it, but Simon heartlessly ripped open her wound and used it against her. Tatiana was shaking. Sean quickly enveloped her in his arms. Gently patting her trembling back, he, with red eyes, attempted to console her. His words got stuck in his throat, and he could only croak, unable to articulate his feelings. The pain for her lingered in his eyes. Spencer and Sinead were left gaping in shock. Stephen had undeniably shaken their viewpoints. When they heard everything Stephen had to say, they stared at Simon's guilty gaze in shock. They were confused. They wondered if they had misunderstood Tatiana and whether everything Simon did was intended to hurt Sean. Can't win me back, chapter 1513. Dad. Mom. Don't listen to him. It's not like that. Simon angrily defended himself. Stephen and Sean conspired together and caused me trouble in court. Now, he is jumping at the first chance to speak for Sean and try to tarnish my reputation. I believe Alyssa and Jasper have bribed both of them. They are lackeys for the Taylors. They are just as bad as them. Unable to endure any longer, Stephen interrupted before Simon could finish. He, who had always been poised and proper, punched Simon. He was more ruthless than Sean and punched Simon right in the nose. Sean staggered backward from the force, and his nose bled profusely. Sigh, a leopard can't change its spots. Stephen shook his sore fingers. Rage burned in his eyes. If you claim I conspired with Sean on this, so be it. Sean collaborated with me to beat the crap out of the shameless, pretentious, and malicious person you are. What can you do about it? Simon held his sore and painful nose. He pointed at Stephen's stern face and muttered, "You." Stephen glanced at the grateful couple with an inexplicable look. Then, he bent down to pick up the suitcase that fell on the ground. He took a stack of envelopes from it. Then, he solemnly approached Spencer and passed the envelopes to him. "This." Hesitant, Spencer took them from him. "These are the reports collected from the masses during my 3 years as the presiding judge. This stack comprises all the cases Simon defended. These citizens did not have the support from the rich and powerful and couldn't afford a lawyer like Simon. So, even when they were wrongly accused and suffered significant losses, they could only silently endure it. They had no means to seek justice for themselves. As such, they send letters to the court, exposing Simon for his treacherous deeds. I've read every word in every letter multiple times for countless nights. I lose sleep thinking about the contents of these letters." Stephen's eyes reddened as he spoke. His throat constricted. "As a judge, I've carried this guilt for 3 years. I know everything Simon did in secret. But, to protect this kinship, both of your feelings and his image as the eldest, I've locked these letters in my drawer and pretended they didn't exist. I regret it so much now and blame myself for it. I'm wrong for abusing my power. I've lost the right to wear this robe. So, once everything is over, I will resign." Spencer's eyes dilated. His vision darkened as he struggled to steady his feet. "Resign? Have you lost your mind? What are you talking about?" Sinead's heart ached profusely as she wailed, "You've gone through so much to get to where you are today. You are the only son who can take over the family. Do you know how proud your dad is of you? How can you resign?" "Okay, I'm on it." Sean complied and went to get water. Spencer carefully glanced at Tatiana from the side. Then, he heaved a loud sigh. In fact, he was impressed by it. "Can't win me back." Chapter 15-14 Stephen asserted, "Mom, I've made my decision. You don't need to persuade me otherwise." Then, Stephen's burdened gaze fell on Spencer's haggard face once again. Suddenly, he distanced himself from the man who had raised them. "Dad, I've never asked for anything growing up. But, I'm asking you today to think of our 30-year relationship and agree to this. I will only ask this once. I hope you won't make things difficult for Ms. Tatiana and won't prevent Sean from being together with her. They really love each other. If Sean loses Ms. Tatiana, I'm certain he wouldn't find anyone as great as her in this lifetime." Sean and Tatiana stood before Spencer with laced fingers. They exchanged glances, and it was obvious that their love was as deep as the ocean. What Stephen said terrified Sinead. She could only wail. An inexplicable look appeared in Spencer's eyes. He asked hoarsely, "Stephen, are you using your resignation to threaten me?" "If you think that way, so be it," Stephen laughed dryly. Commotion could be heard outside the ward before a subsequent knock on the door. Sean was closest to the door, so he went to open it. Two men in suits stood by the door. Sean lowered his gaze and saw the badges on their chest. They were from the prosecution division. "Is Simon Lynch here?" Simon shuddered at the stern voice. Sean's eyes turned grim as he stepped aside to make way for them. The prosecutors walked in grimly. They were slightly startled to see Spencer and acknowledged him respectfully. Every person in politics and law knew of Spencer's illustrious career. He was a respected elder, and as such, they accorded him the respect he rightfully deserved. "Mr. Simon, please follow us." They were polite for Spencer's sake. Though they offered no explanation, the severity of the situation was evident. Simon's legs and lips trembled. Each step felt like sinking into quicksand. Eventually, they supported him, escorting him out of the ward. Sinead covered her face and wailed profusely. Spencer's gray eyebrows knitted together. The shock felt like a slap, and recovery seemed impossible. No further elaboration or explanation from Simon was necessary. Stephen was an upright man and had never lied to them before. Plus, the prosecution wouldn't take someone away without evidence. At this point, Sean felt no attachment to the family. He grabbed Tatiana by the waist and walked out of the door with her. "Sean, where are you going? Come back." Sean suddenly stopped in his tracks. "From now on, I am dead to you." Sean and Tatiana walked toward the hospital's parking lot. "Can't win me back." Chapter 15. Tatiana wanted to comfort Sean, but she remembered she was the reason for everything that happened and didn't think she had any right to speak. So, she guiltily lowered her head with tears welling up in her eyes. "Tati, don't blame yourself. You have nothing to do with everything turning out this way." Sean comforted her. His voice was extremely gentle. Tatiana's eyes were puffy. Her lips trembled. "But you are the love of my life and the future I chose. I will do everything in my ability to see our relationship through. No one can stop me." As he finished, Stephen's voice came from behind, "Sean." Both of them turned around. They saw Stephen running toward them. "Stephen, thank you for standing up for Tati. Thank you for standing on our side." A burning gaze simmered in Sean's reddened eyes. "We will always remember how good you have been to us. We will do whatever it takes to repay you for your kindness." Resentment lingered in Stephen's eyes. "Sean, you are my only brother. Are you planning to abandon me too by saying that?" "No, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry, Sean." Tatiana and Sean were startled. Then, Sean quickly said, "What are you talking about, Stephen? You haven't done anything to offend me. Please don't apologize." "No, I've been wanting to apologize to you. Unfortunately, it came a little too late." Stephen lowered his gaze sadly, his nose prickling. "I am not an emotional person. My heart was focused on learning, excelling, and achieving my goals, so I've never asked about anything that happened at home. More often than not, I know Simon is bullying you. I know you have suffered a lot for this family. However, I've been too indifferent and selfish that as an elder brother, I've never once stood up for you or spoken on your behalf. Stephen, I've no right to be your brother. I know I could never make up for the hurt you've carried because of this lost kinship. Now, I hope to do as much as I can within my ability. Only then can I find peace." Stephen looked at Tatiana warmly and gave her a comforting smile. "Tati, I'll leave Sean in your hands. I hope everything goes well for both of you and that you will marry well. Please remember to tell me when that happens. I will be there to give you a big wedding gift. Thank you, Stephen." Tears of gratitude filled Tatiana's eyes. Sean's eyes glistened as he placed both hands on Stephen's shoulders. Stephen, didn't you say you wanted to make it up to me? I'll consider you've made up to me if you agree to this one thing. What is it? Stephen's heart was pounding as tears filled his eyes. Tatiana decided to let loose that night. She wanted to be with Sean and did not want to return to Heitsna Villa. Sean couldn't convince her otherwise. Besides, he couldn't bear to see her leave. So, he drove her back to Solana City. Tatiana had taken her bath. Her slim and delicate body glistened under the soft light. Sean had thoughtfully placed one of his white shirts on the bed for her to wear as sleepwear for the night. Can't win me back. Chapter 15-16. Tatiana changed into the oversized dress with excitement, spinning joyfully in front of the mirror. She found more happiness in it than in wearing any other fancy dresses. Suddenly, her phone rang, startling her. She tiptoed to the bedside, took the phone, and saw from the caller ID that it was Lila. Her heart raced, panic setting in. Eventually, concerned that Lila was worried about her, she chose to answer the call. Tati, why aren't you home? Where did you go? Lila sounded very worried. I am fine, Mom. I'm doing all right. Where are you now? I am in Solana City with Sean. Tatiana mustered the courage and said, I'm not going home, Mom. Sean is upset, so I want to stay with him. The conversation lapsed into silence, making her feel uncomfortable. After a long while, Lila asked softly, are both of you staying at a hotel or Alyssa's house in Solana City? No, Sean has a house in Solana City. Tatiana became softer as she spoke. Her face blushed. So, I see you've made a decision. Are you prepared? Tatiana was dumbfounded. Her eyes fluttered. Huh. Sean is a good person. You are 22 now, an adult. I know I can't stop you, even if I wanted to. Mom, Lila let out a long sigh. Her voice was gentle and didn't show a hint of dissatisfaction toward her. She only sounded concerned. Tati, you don't need to explain to me. I've been there before. How would I not understand? If you've decided to give yourself to Sean, I won't stop you. But please take the necessary precautions. After all, both of you are not married yet. Even if you love this man, you have to protect yourself and draw boundaries. But I do know how much Sean loves you. I'm sure he will take good care of you. Tatiana was so moved that tears welled up in her eyes. Her heart raced wildly, and her face blushed with embarrassment. Tatiana waited in the room for a while. But since Sean didn't come upstairs to find her, she went to look for him instead. Barefoot, Tatiana ran to him and hugged him from behind. Softly and coyly, she asked, Sean? What's the matter? Did you zone out? Sean's body shuddered. He frantically wiped the tears at the corner of his eyes, but it was too late. Tatiana saw everything. Sean, why you re-crying? I'm fine. Sean lowered his head, avoiding her gaze. A teardrop slid from his jaw into the pot of milk. What do you mean you're fine? Your eyes are swollen. What's the matter? Sean, don't hide it from me. Don't scare me. Can't win me back. Chapter 15-17. Tatiana said, no. Don't think this way, Sean. I feel so blessed every day to be with you. I've never felt like I've suffered. Holding Sean's damp face, Tatiana panicked, and her eyes reddened. Each tear that rolled down his face felt like a pit carved into her heart. No one would know how strong Sean was more than she did. He had partnered with Jasper and Alyssa for so long and fought for them, becoming one of the most powerful people they had. Yet, that very same man hid in the kitchen to cry about what happened to her that day. The pain must be so great that he felt this dejected. Sean lowered his gaze, his voice strained with pain as he spoke, "Tati, you are a cherished member of the Taylor family, the darling of Mr. Winston and Madam Lila. Mr. Jonah and Ms. Alyssa hold you dear. I've witnessed your growth, the carefree days of your youth licking lollipops, playfully hiding behind Ms. Alyssa. It's etched vividly in my memory. If it weren't for me, your life would have been much happier. My family has robbed you of your joy." Tatiana shook her head, fighting back tears. She was concerned that if he kept dwelling on these thoughts, he might not be able to recover from the emotional turmoil. Sean croaked, gritting his teeth so tightly it seemed they might break. "When I saw how they humiliated you today, I was so tempted to." Before he could finish, Tatiana tiptoed and kissed him passionately on the lips with her eyes closed. Sean's breath deepened with her passion, and his eyes sparked with desire. His chest rose and fell against her breasts, separated only by a thin shirt. He could distinctly feel her breasts against him. The lustful desire coiled its way into his heart. The overflowing pot of milk broke their immersion. "Sean, the milk will run dry if we don't turn it off now," Tatiana coyly said in Sean's arms, her face blushing. Sean finally regained his senses. He frantically turned down the fire and wiped the counter clean. After finishing, he sighed and laughed helplessly. "Look at me. I can't even do something this small right. Not at all. You are the most perfect man to me, Sean." Tatiana hugged Sean's waist tightly and clung to him like a koala. "Sean, you have to remember how important you are to me. You are not allowed to say such negative things. I don't want to hear you talk about how you've robbed me of my joy. I have a temper, you know, and I'm not afraid to use it. I am super scary when I get angry." Tatiana pursed her lips, reddened by the kiss. Her angry look had melted some of Sean's grievances away. He couldn't help but smile. Tatiana became serious once more. "My family bestowed their blessings upon me. Now, the responsibility lies with us to create our own happiness. So, don't feel that you've let me down. I don't consider myself to be suffering. After all, no relationship is without its challenges. Miley had to marry far away and accompany him on his political journey. My dad and Aunt Amandy posed numerous challenges for them back then." Sean's eyes trembled slightly. He had heard some of these things from Alyssa before. Sean's heart shuddered as he planted a kiss on her forehead. He was putty in her hands. She had his heart, life, and soul in her hands. "Tati, I swear this is the last time it'll ever happen. I will never let you suffer like you did today ever again. Can't win me back." Chapter 15:18 Sean tearfully embraced his beloved and said, "I may have come from the Lynch family, but the moment they started insulting you, I no longer had anything to do with them." Tatiana was both touched and concerned. "Sean. I don't have a home anymore," Sean said with a bitter chuckle, though most of what he felt was a sense of release. "From now on, I'm just John Lynch. The third son of the Lynch family has ceased to exist." "Who says you don't have a home?" Tatiana's brows furrowed as she pressed her fingers to Sean's lips. "You'll always have a family as long as I'm here. My family is your family." As the night continued, both Tatiana and Sean naturally slept together. But they only slept in the same bed, nothing more. Sean lay stiffly beside Tatiana in pajamas like a canned sardine. There was even a clear divide between him and Tatiana on the bed. He could smell the shampoo Tatiana had used for her hair. He could hear her breathing and even feel her warmth. Sean swallowed nervously, throat dry. Heat burned in his lower abdomen. Sean might be a proper, virtuous man, but laying beside Tatiana as the night went on was still really difficult to bear. All of a sudden, a floral fragrance swept across his senses. Sean opened his eyes to find Tatiana straddling his waist. When she leaned into him, her oversized pajama shirt slipped down her shoulder to her waist. Sean immediately closed his eyes, as if afraid he might tarnish Tatiana just by looking at her. His heart pounded in his chest. "Open your eyes. Look at me," Tatiana murmured in Sean's ear, making his body roil with desire. He slowly opened his eyes. The sweat from the palms of his hands had soaked through the sheets. "Sean. I want you." "Finally," Sean snapped. Tatiana nodded shyly. "I'll take responsibility, Tati. You'll be my wife after tonight." From this moment forward, Sean aspired not only to be the one Tatiana loved but also to seamlessly be one with her. "Can't win me back." Chapter 15-19. The sky was dark as rain drizzled from the heaven above. It was the perfect weather to pay respects to one's loved ones at the cemetery. Alyssa and Jasper had come to pay respects to Anne again. They had brought flowers and hurriedly cleaned the gravestone up as if planning to have a meal with Jasper's mother. Though Anne had long passed away, she must not be lonely now that Alyssa and Jasper tended to her grave and missed her so. "Lise and I have gotten revenge for you, Mom. Sophia's been sentenced to death. 20 years, it's finally over." Jasper clasped Alyssa's hand tightly. "Retribution will always come in time. I hope you can finally be at peace now." The two then bowed respectfully to the gravestone. Just then, steady footsteps rang out from nearby. "It's Grandpa." Alyssa turned over excitedly. Jasper's pupils dilated in surprise. Newton was pushed over by Ben in his wheelchair, not far away. There was a bouquet of white lilies in Newton's lap, Anne's favorite. When Anne was alive, Seaview Manor was adorned with white lilies, each stalk tenderly tended by her. Even Anne's father-in-law, Newton, knew lilies were her favorite, yet her own husband, Javier, did not. How ironic. "Let me help you up, Mr. Beckett," Ben offered. He was about to help Newton when the latter pushed himself up using his wheelchair armrests. Alyssa and Jasper were taken aback. They sighed in relief once they saw Newton standing steady on his feet. Newton walked over to them with the bouquet in his hands. He gazed kindly at Jasper and asked, "I hope you don't mind me paying your mother a visit." Jasper shook his head gently, his breath catching in his throat. Heartfelt tears filled Alyssa's eyes as her lips drew into a smile. Newton's health was not what it used to be in the past few years. He was almost always in his wheelchair, even when he had to attend an important event. Yet right now, he was standing up on his own 2 feet, all to pay Anne his respects. Newton sighed deeply and placed the lilies by Anne's gravestone before bowing. "Our family has wronged you deeply, Anne. I am truly sorry for what we've done, but I know it's meaningless now since you've already passed on. So please don't worry. I'll take care of Jasper for you for as long as I live. I will never let your only son and my most beloved grandchild suffer any more pain." Jasper's eyes were filled with tears as he gazed at Newton. He had never felt like Newton owed him anything nor felt wronged in any way. In contrast, Jasper would have probably died at Sophia's hands if it weren't for Newton's devoted care to him. "I heard Sophia's counsel wants to appeal her case," Newton then asked. "Yes, Grandpa. But it's a futile struggle, Alyssa replied as she held Jasper's arm. Good. All that matters is that you guys are confident she'll meet her death. Hate brewed in Newton's heart as he recalled all the evil deeds Sophia had ever done. I've already thought things through. If the law won't execute Sophia, I'll do it myself. I'll make sure that vile woman suffers a death far worse than that Schmidt kid did. Newton's tone was a peculiar one. Oh, silly boy. How is it enough? It's far from enough. Dad. Javier suddenly appeared. His unexpected presence disturbed the loving and harmonious atmosphere. Alyssa gazed worriedly at Jasper. His expression was as cold as ice as he ground out, "Fucking shameless. Don't cause a big scene in front of Grandpa, Jasper," Alyssa said quietly, holding Jasper's ice-cold hand. Jasper took a deep breath and held his anger back as advised. "What are you doing here?" Newton asked Javier crossly. Javier bit his lip and said in a hoarse voice, "I'm here to see Anne, Dad. I missed her. Can't win me back." Chapter 15-20. Both Alyssa and Jasper were speechless. Newton really had a sharp tongue. But it was such good tongue lashing. "Dad, Anne was my wife. I'm just here to pay her my respects. Why are all of you antagonizing me?" Javier couldn't stand Newton's words anymore. He immediately lost composure in front of his father. "Your wife? Isn't your wife that criminal, Sophia Kirkman?" Newton snorted. Javier's hands balled into fists as he burned with anger. Newton had never once affirmed Sophia's position as his daughter-in-law, yet now, here he was, doing so in such a sarcastic way. What else was Newton doing but insulting and humiliating Javier? "Dad, the truth about Anne's death was late by 20 years. I'm just as devastated after finding out about it." Javier's eyes were bloodshot as he pointed at his own chest. "I was under so much pressure all those years ago because I brought Anne and Jasper home. I did it even though you opposed my decision. Didn't I do that all because I loved Anne? You shouldn't humiliate my love for her no matter what." Alyssa's brows wrinkled. Javier's words were difficult to digest, especially when spoken in front of Anne's gravestone. Jasper's face was as expressionless and unmoving as his own emotions. Anne had passed away for so many years. Javier didn't know to cherish her before her death, so it was all the more revolting that he showed his feelings for her after her death. "Yes, you did love Anne. I was in disbelief when you begged me to let her and Jasper live with us. I couldn't believe that the young man who was sobbing in front of me was my own usually distant son," Newton said, gazing coldly at Javier. He continued, "I thought Anne's appearance in your life would finally make you kinder, but I still overestimated you. You may have had feelings for her before, but that was only because she was different from all the other women you'd met. You got bored of the diversity of personalities you'd seen, so when you saw Anne, who was different from everyone else, you grew interested in her. Plus, you've always been competitive and possessive. You would do anything to get what you want, be it a toy, or power, or even women themselves. After that, you won Anne over. But you quickly grew impatient with her since she was so proud and kept to herself. That evil woman, Sophia, appeared in your life and took advantage of the situation to seduce you until you were putty in her hands. She wreaked havoc in our family and outright bullied Anne, all for it to end up in the tragedy 20 years ago." Newton grew angrier the more he spoke. He even felt ashamed to stand straight in front of Anne's grave. "I never expected you to end up choosing such a disgusting excuse for a human being to be your wife instead of all the other fine young women. That crazy bitch in prison is your lawfully wedded wife, Javier Beckett. You'd better fulfill your duty as her husband and pay her a last visit instead of putting up this act here in front of us. Don't taint Anne's space any further." Newton really was a hardened, experienced man, able to give such an on-point tongue-lashing. Javier's lips parted briefly, but no sound came out. "Okay, Grandpa." The two went up to support Newton as they walked. Javier watched with an ugly expression as the three people went past him, treating him like he was an outsider. "Can't win me back." Chapter 1521. Alyssa and Jasper shot one another a knowing look, their hearts beating in unison. Javier's face had long paled as he watched them leave. It felt like all the blood in his veins had turned to ice. There were three luxury cars waiting outside the cemetery. Alyssa and Jasper climbed into the first car while Newton sat in the second. Soon, Javier walked out of the cemetery with Rory by his side, the former looking quite dejected. "Mr. Javier," Ben greeted respectfully. "Mr. Newton is asking for you to join his car. He would like to speak to you about something." Javier's eyes darkened. The father and son sat together in the car as if an invisible wall separated them. "Did you want to talk to me, Dad?" Javier asked quietly. Newton said calmly as he stared straight ahead, "Now that Sofia has admitted to her crime, only death awaits her unless you still have feelings for her and plan on reducing her sentence. I'm still going to make myself clear right now. I will definitely make Sofia pay her life in return for taking Jasper's mother's. I have tolerated her vile acts for years. All I want to do now is to send her to her death. No one can stop me." Javier gritted his teeth, cheeks flushed. "I won't, Dad. I've seen Sofia's true colors. I won't interfere anymore." "Good." Newton then said solemnly, "Jasper was originally our family's proper heir, yet because of that evil woman's doings and your neglect, you let Jasper bear the humiliation of being a bastard for 20 years. Now that the truth has been revealed, you should start thinking about how to return Jasper to his original status." Javier sullenly said, "Yes, I understand. I really did wrong both Jasper and in this. How do you intend to make it up to Jasper? Too many things have gone on in the past 2 days. I'm dealing with them one by one. Once I'm done, I'll think things through. I know you're busy, so I've already thought about it on your behalf." Newton turned to look at Javier, his eyes menacing and sharp. "Jasper has given his all to the Beckett Group as its CEO all these years but never complained even once. I've noticed your strong opposition to preventing him from joining the board of directors, but I've never commented. You know our family's situation best. Justin is crippled, and neither Betty nor Lauren is suited to take over the business. The only person who could do so is Jasper." Javier reeled in shock. "Dad." Newton's words had a profound impact on Javier and the entire Beckett Group. Can't Win Me Back. Chapter 1522. It was public knowledge that Newton, despite retiring from his role as the Beckett Group's chairman, held the company stocks and remained the shareholder and the honorary chairman across many other companies. He remained in control of Brighton Technology and Alcove Co. Although Javier was eager to get his hands on the two companies, Newton refused to give him the opportunity. However, Newton had breezily given Jasper power in the two companies, which was clearly an act of favoritism. It was also a subtle declaration that Jasper was the chosen one and the heir of Beckett Group. "Why are you quiet? Do you disagree with my decision?" Newton asked coldly. "I'm sure you have thought over it carefully," Javier replied. After a pause, Javier added, "But you've given Jasper too much stock ownership when he's still young. I worry that he might feel pressured by it. It's also a distraction that might affect his growth in the future." I know what Jasper is capable of. Even if the sky falls, he'll be able to handle it. You don't have to worry about a thing when he's the president of Beckett Group. He's always managed to solve the problems. Isn't that right? He's driven by challenges. Put pressure on him, and you'll help him release his potential. Besides, he's going to marry the tailor's daughter in the future. Winston Taylor is the wealthiest man in Bell Banks. My grandson needs to hold some wealth to measure up to the tailors. I can't have them looking down at him. It's not like he's marrying up, Newton said aloud as he pictured the future marriage of Jasper and Alyssa as well as his great-grandchildren. Javier had wanted to talk back, but he held his tongue out of fear of provoking Newton into transferring more power to Jasper. Newton leaned back into the chair and waved dismissively at the glum-looking Javier. You may leave the car. I'm about to have dinner with my grandson. And my granddaughter-in-law. I don't want to ruin the mood, so I'm not inviting you. Jameson was abroad in Mosgravia in an artistically decorated room looking out to a maple grove. Birds chirped around them, which reminded Jameson of the idyllic towns of Cirrus. A digital chessboard was displayed on a huge screen in the room. Jameson was playing chess with a man who was seated behind a curtain. In front of Jameson was a crystal chess set. Every time he made a move, it would be reflected digitally on the screen. Mr. Jameson, you should spend more time with your mom since you're in Mosgravia. You don't have to entertain me, the mysterious man remarked with a smile. Jameson replied courteously, Sir, you have my loyalty. I'm not entertaining you. You've done a lot during this time. However, after Sophia Kirkman's downfall, I fear that Jasper Beckett and Alyssa Taylor might redirect their attention to you. You need to be prepared. You shouldn't fall into their trap. I will take note of that. The light in Jameson's eyes dimmed. I'll get that done as soon as possible. I won't keep you waiting for long. Cheryl, Jameson's tea is getting cold. Get him a new cup, the man instructed with a knowing smile. Can't win me back. Chapter 1523-Mr. Schmidt, here's some vintage Narcissus tea that was flown in this morning. Please have a taste, said Cheryl Gillis. She deftly and elegantly prepared the tea for Jameson, which was an art form in itself. Soon, she served him a new cup of hot tea. The fair lady stood there amid the steam from the tea and the subtle tea scent wafting in the air. She radiated a captivating yet distant presence, a combination of contradictory traits that strangely complemented each other. Indeed, those who worked for the man were the cream of the crop who were carefully nurtured. Troublesome employees would have already been removed early on. Thank you, Ms. Gillis. Jameson raised his cup, but his gaze remained fixed on her. She bore a resemblance to a particular someone, the woman whom he had loved for a long time. Mr. Schmidt, is there something on my face? Cheryl wondered with a gentle smile. No. Sorry. That was rude. He quickly looked away with astonishment. The man behind the curtains laughed. Cheryl, you're too beautiful. People are naturally attracted to beauty. Mr. Schmidt, how does Cheryl compare to Lice? Feeling surprised, Jameson trod carefully. My apology, sir. Cheryl is great, but Lice remains my only love in this lifetime. She's the most beautiful lady in my eyes, which no one could ever replace. The man chuckled and sipped on the tea. How loyal of you. But have you heard about the saying that the loyal one in love suffers the most regrets? I don't mind having regrets. I will willingly lose to Lice. Jameson smiled wryly. Memories of their tense confrontation on the flight still pained his heart. Mr. Schmidt, don't speak that way, or it might come true. Sir would be the first to feel sorry for you if you're defeated by Ms. Alyssa, while she might or might not care. Without you, Sir would lose a right-hand man. How is he going to run his business in Contina? It's difficult to find a decision-maker as capable as you, Cheryl said with a smile. The man said to her, Oh, don't worry about it. You'll have a chance to meet her. Jameson paused in the middle of drinking tea and shot a doubtful glance at Cheryl. He thought, did Cheryl just say meet her again? Has Cheryl met Alyssa before? How is that possible? Can't win me back. Chapter 1524. The look in Jameson's eyes hardened. Sophia Kirkman is no longer of use. If you look around the Beckett group, there's no one to keep Jasper Beckett in check. He's the only one in power. I'm concerned that Javier Beckett might hand Jasper more power out of guild for his son and his late wife, as well as pressure from Newton Beckett. If that happens, Jasper will be invincible. The man said calmly, let's play chess. Then, he moved his chess piece. Jameson pursed his lips. He was about to make his move when the man smiled and remarked, Mr. Schmidt, why are you so insistent that I go back to Solana City soon? Is it truly for my best, or are you doing this for yourself to gain a helping hand? Are you using me against Jasper Beckett to get your hands on Ms. Alyssa? No, sir. Everything I do is in your interest. That surely wasn't my intention. Jameson broke out in cold sweat as he professed his loyalty. I don't mind lending a helping hand. But looking back, nothing comes out of helping you. Your relationship with Ms. Alyssa is stalled, and you only seem to be pushing her further away. You should rely on yourself instead of others. It's useless to depend on others' help, the man spoke, sounding like a wise elder. Mr. Schmidt, didn't you ask for aphrodisiac from Sir? Haven't you used it? Cheryl blinked at Jameson as though she was thinking out of consideration for him. If it's not much of help, we can share the latest drug developed by the research center with you. It's more potent. I believe the new drug will make Ms. Alyssa listen to you. There's no shame in taking a shortcut in matters of the heart. Frowning, Jameson gripped his teacup tightly. The man put on a serious tone. Enough, Cheryl. Stop teasing him. The drug. Dad 0044 has entered the trial phase, but we ran into a minor issue. Jameson sat up straight. Please go on. My research center has invested a significant amount of money and effort into developing this drug. Our goal is to be the global leader in developing a cure for Parkinson's disease. If the trial of drug Dad 0044 succeeds, we will make a huge contribution to the medical field, not to mention the astronomical profits we'll make. As the breeze lifted the curtains, the man laughed melodiously. When that happens, the four esteemed families will be no match for me. Buying out the Beckett Group will be a cakewalk. Jameson's eyes lit up with excitement. He leaned forward. Sir, Parkinson's disease shares a connection with Alzheimer's. Could drug Dad 0044 possibly cure Alzheimer's too? The man nodded after he read Jameson's mind. He explained, once drug Dad 0044 is successfully launched, we'll not be far from curing your mom of Alzheimer's. Jameson's voice trembled in agitation when he found a sliver of hope for his mom, who had suffered from Alzheimer's for years. Sir, let me know if you have any issues. I'll do anything to help you out. The man leisurely sipped on the tea. Cheryl spoke out for him, we received intel that the Lovelace Pharmaceuticals in Ceres are developing similar drugs. Their progress is slightly ahead of us. We repeatedly attempted to send our man into the company to get their research data, but we failed. This will negatively impact Sir's plan of developing the drug. Jameson furrowed his brows. Sir, do you want me to disrupt their research? To be honest, I can't possibly achieve what you failed to do. Cheryl lifted a box from the table. She approached Jameson and placed the box in front of him. Can't win me back. Chapter 1525-Mr. Schmidt, are you scared? Cheryl scoffed. Even I have heard of your actions in Contina. We're only looking for some sacrifices to achieve a huge goal for mankind. Do you not have the heart to do it? Jameson cast a menacing look at Cheryl's mocking expression. In no way did she resemble Alyssa. Alyssa was the shining light in his otherwise dark and hopeless life. She was a butterfly dancing in a cold abyss. To him, Alyssa was an angel. Cheryl was nothing more than Sir's pretty, obedient, and dutiful weapon. Cheryl, that's inappropriate. After all, lives are involved. It makes sense for Mr. Schmidt to give it a serious thought. The man laughed amicably but betrayed a hint of authority. Jameson's breathing grew heavy. He whispered, I will carry out the mission you entrust to me, sir. Thank you, Mr. Schmidt. When you start the trials, I need your men to record the trial data and observe the participants' responses. Cheryl will gather the details and email them to you. The man's smile deepened. He seemed satisfied with Jameson's answer. One question, sir. Does drug DAD-0044 come with any side effects? Jameson adjusted his glasses with a wary look. Well, some obvious side effects are delirium and spasms. We're still looking out for any hidden side effects. Cheryl placed a finger under her chin as if she was thinking. It's probably similar to drug withdrawal symptoms. Jameson curled his fingers. Sir, I have one more question. Why don't you complete your trials in Mosgravia? The industry is less regulated here than in Cyrus. Besides, I'm not exactly on good terms with Jasper Beckett and Alyssa. They might be keeping tabs on me. I would love to help you, but I'm not in a favorable situation. I'm afraid I'll only ruin your plans. As our headquarters is in Mosgravia, I do not want to start any trouble here and ruin my plans. I want you to carry out the trials in Cyrus as an escape plan, explained the man. An escape plan. When needed, we can shift the blame onto Lovelace Pharmaceuticals. Given Jameson's wits, he likely had a clear idea of what to do. The man added, I found the perfect trial participant for you. Since drug DAD-0044's side effects are similar to drug withdrawal symptoms, we can test it on a frequent drug user and fool the authorities. Jameson nodded with a look of realization. Got it? Sir, thanks for the tips. Checkmate. Good game, Mr. Schmidt. Cheryl stared coldly at Amber, who resembled Alyssa. Can't win me back. Chapter 1526-Ms. Altman, it's been a while. You still look as lovely as before, the man complimented Amber with a gentle smile. Amber looked stoic and cold. She lowered her gaze and replied humbly, Sir, thanks for the compliment. You're indeed a woman groomed by Mr. Schmidt. You're gentle, demure, and gracious. Sometimes, I feel that you're Alyssa Taylor herself. You're the best substitute I've ever seen. Amber kept her silence, but she looked glum. By describing her as a substitute, all his prior compliments sounded sarcastic to her. Jameson did not continue on that topic. Instead, he opened the box and revealed the antique vase to the man. This is a Victorian-era pink frosted vase I got for you from a Yorkley auction. It's nothing special. I hope you don't mind it. Cheryl lifted a brow in amusement. She had been keeping an eye on the vase for her employer. In the end, an anonymous buyer won the bid with $50 million. She had not expected the buyer to be Jameson. She thought, Mr. Schmidt is indeed a thoughtful lapdog. The man nodded softly. Mr. Schmidt, that's very thoughtful of you. I'll need your help on Drug Dad 0044. Jameson nodded at him. Don't worry. I'll give it my best. After Jameson and Amber left, silence fell on the scented room. Sir, whose face do you think is prettier, my face that you sculpted or Amber's that resembles Alyssa Taylor? Cheryl gently placed her hand on the man's shoulder and whispered into his ear. He smiled and patted his thigh. She obediently walked over and kneeled in front of him. Then, she looked up at him with a tender gaze on her radiant face. Amber might be a carbon copy of Alyssa Taylor, but she'll never be her. She's a low-grade substitute that Jameson Schmidt created to satisfy his desire. The man leaned forward and placed a finger under her chin. He lifted her chin slowly. You are just you. You're a work of art I meticulously crafted. That boring substitute is no match for my art piece. Cheryl's eyes glinted when she heard his words. To her, he was an omniscient deity who categorized the beings in the world into two, those who belonged to him and those who did not. She did not mind being described as an item. Sir, please forgive my bluntness. Kneeling on the floor, Cheryl started massaging his leg. I think this is the best opportunity for you to hit back. As Jameson Schmidt had said, the best way to manipulate a man is by gaining his sympathy. I'm worried that Javier Beckett might hand the Beckett group to Jasper out of guilt. The man chuckled. No, he won't. Cheryl opined, now that Sophia Kirkman is done for, there's no reason to keep Betty Beckett in the family. Why don't you reveal the secret and get rid of both mother and daughter? A useless chess piece will only be an eyesore in the game. We've not reached the end yet. How would you know she's useless? Cheryl was surprised by the remark. Cheryl smirked. Is Jameson Schmidt one of those chess pieces? Sophia had appealed against the sentence on the same day. 10 days later, the appellate court affirmed the sentence, which meant that she would still face the death penalty.